Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is about how many Jews are there in Gibraltar and where are they from? Gibraltar, as you know, is a British overseas territory located at the southern tip of Spain. It has an area of only 2.3 square miles, or 6 square kilometers, about 1/15 the size of Manhattan. At the foot of its famous rock, there's a densely populated city area, which is home to about 30,000 people. About half of them are either of British or Spanish origin, but there are minorities from many different countries. About 80% of Gibraltarians are Roman Catholics, about 4% Muslim, and there is a small, long-established, and very dynamic Jewish community. On a recent trip there, we spoke with Dr. Sam Abu Darham, who's a retired university professor and speech therapist, and a very active member of the community. He's served on its managing board and is the creator and editor of its magazine, Kesher. Dr. Abu Darham told us about the history of the community and how it has evolved. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. I was wondering if you could first tell us a little bit about the history of the Jewish community in Gibraltar.
Okay. The first Jews that came to Gibraltar was pretty soon after the British took over Gibraltar in 1704. It didn't take very long for Jewish businessmen to come over because there was a siege by Spain of Gibraltar, so the so-called fortress couldn't bring victuals and building materials and so on from Spain. So what happened was that Jews came from Morocco, and they came in their trawlers, and they brought the food and they brought the building materials. And that probably was around about 1730s, something like that. There's certainly a presence already, a residential presence of Jews in Gibraltar by 1765.
What about the community today? About how big is it and where are most of the people from? Are they still mostly from Morocco?
Okay. The last, 10 years or so has seen quite a change in the composition of our community. Traditionally, people will tell you there's 650 Jews in Gibraltar. The fact of the matter is there's probably more like 700, 750. Thank God, more people are born than die. But in addition to that, we've had an appreciable influx from Spanish Morocco, from Ceuta, and from Spain, of Jews who come over here with their families because they want a better religious environment, a better religious education, and so they come here and they settle here. And there's quite a few families. There must have been about a dozen families with their children who have come. So that has added to the sort of old 650. And of course, there are people who marry, who've got spouses who are from England, and Gibraltarians married to English boys or girls, and they come. Some of them come here and they raise their family here.
So throughout these, let's say, 300-400 years of history, how has the community evolved?
Well, in which way?
Well, historically, I mean, is there any special historical data, or is there any way that the community has changed aside from in size?
The community has become much more religious. And the reason I remember Chief Rabbi Sachs, Lord Sachs, gave me personally once was that in the 50s and 60s, 40% of all marriages were out-marriages. So the community saw that they were hemorrhaging. Because if they had 650, and not 40% of 650, but 40% of the marriages were out marriages, and usually the children were not brought up as Jews, sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on whether the spouse, the non-Jewish spouse, was prepared to convert, then the community had to think, what are we going to do? We're going to disappear. And so they looked inwardsly, as it were, and became more religious. To the extent that today we've got the Hebrew primary school, which we've always had, and the Talmud Torah, which is in the same building. The Hebrew school deals with English subjects, and the Talmud Torah prepares the children in the afternoon in religious observances and prayers and stuff like that. We've got a boys' grammar school and a separate girls' grammar school. And we've also got a Kollel, which has been going on for about, I think, probably 20 years. And this is the Institute of Advanced Talmudic Studies, where we have half a dozen rechim, half a dozen scholars who learn during the day, and they give shiurim, they give lessons to members of the community that want to attend every single day practically. So it has become much more religious. Also, with the advent of a rabbi probably in the 60s, Rabbi Joseph Emanuel Patifici, who's still alive, living in Israel, who came and decided that Gibraltar could improve itself from the religious observance and religious education, and he started the ball rolling from there.
Are most of the people still Sephardic?
Most of the people are Sephardim, especially with the influx of the ones that come from Ceuta and Spain. There are quite a few Ashkenazim, but they are either some of the Avrechim, some of the scholars who study in the Kollel, or else their spouses, as I said earlier on, English spouses who marry Gibraltarians. And there are a few families which are totally English, as it were, or English or South African or whatever. They don't have a minyan during the year. They usually have a minyan on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They have their own minyan.
So do they have their own synagogue then?
No, they do not have a synagogue. I don't think there's enough of them to be able to afford a synagogue. So what they do is they use the Kollel, which is not being used during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They use the Kollel, where there is an Aron HaKodesh and there's a Sefer Torah there, and they use that for the high holy days.
For such a small community, I was surprised that there are so many synagogues. Can you tell us about them? Because one of the things that I saw online is that you not only have four synagogues, but there's a fifth one where the children lead the services on Shabbat. Right. Could you tell us a little bit about the different synagogues?
Well, you know that story, don't you? A person who's a member of three synagogues, you know that story, so I'm not going to repeat it. Well, there's one, for example, Shara Shamayim, which is one of the oldest ones. I think probably the oldest one. There was a split between the membership. Some of them preferred a nusach, the customs of Morocco, and others preferred another sort of nusach, and they separated. And that became the Abu Dharam Synagogue. The Abu Dharam Synagogue, but you know my name is Abu Dharam. The Abu Dharam Synagogue is a smaller synagogue. It's the third biggest, or if you want, the second smallest. It used to be a yeshiva. And the property used to belong to a rabbi, Solomon Abu Dharam, and his brother Joseph. Solomon was the scholar, Joseph was a businessman. But Solomon Abu Dharam died during the yellow fever or some sort of plague. And from a yeshiva, it became a shul. And that's why once upon a time, it was the only shul that had a mezuzah at the entrance to the shul proper, because a shul doesn't need a mezuzah, because it's holy enough already, but a yeshiva does. Then there's the what they call the Flemish synagogue, or this Esnoga means synagogue, Flamenca, Flemish. That's a very beautiful synagogue, very beautiful. And then there's a little one, which is just next door, in fact, upstairs, just upstairs from here. And that's Etz Chaim, or they call it the Esnoga Chica. It's quite small. And again, there's another group of people who decided to set up. And I'm not quite sure, but I think maybe it was a yeshiva as well. I can't remember now. There's a little book written by somebody or other whose name escapes me at the moment, Sharma, some lady called Sharma. And she wrote a book about all the shuls in Gibraltar. Now, the one in Talmud Torah is very, very interesting, because that's where we all learn how to daven. All the children, they go there, and whereas the minyan only on Shabbos morning, not on Yomim Tovim, the minyan is managed by a committee, but the whole of the prayers is led by children. From the age of four, when they say a very small prayer, Yimloch, it's just one verse, to Musaf, to reading from the law, Haftarah, all these things. That's where we've all learned how to. And of course, it's marvelous, because you're learning in a very real situation, not in class. And I believe that many, many, many of the pupils that came out of that would be able to daven in front of the Amud in public quite easily.
Can all of the synagogues be visited?
Yeah. Well, yes, if you make arrangements, you can.
You mentioned the schools. Are there other Jewish institutions here?
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's a wheat sow, which is just a handful of ladies who meet every week and been going on for a long time. I remember when I was a kid, they used to knit clothes and send it to Israel. There is, of course, the Chevra Kadisha, yes? And a few other organizations. There's a Hebrew Poor Fund. This is the office of the management board of the Jewish community, whose president is Mr. Levy, Chaim Levy. He's been president since 2000, and even before that, as you can see, 1983, 1992, he was president for that period of time. He's a top barrister who is the head of the biggest law firm in Gibraltar. There's also a Jewish home for the elderly, and that used to be run by our community, but then a deal was made with the government, and now the government runs it. And whereas it admits non-Jewish people for respite care, it's mainly for Jewish people, and it's a kosher place, and you know, everything to do with religious observance happens there.
This is the Jewish community, and Chaim Levy is the president of the Jewish community. Now, does this comprehend all of the synagogues? Because who exactly is the Jewish community?
Okay, each synagogue is autonomous. They've got their own president, they've got their own secretary, treasurer, executive, you know. So they each are responsible for whatever happens there. Members of each synagogue contribute a membership fee, as it were, anything about £100 or thereabouts a year, a bit more for some synagogues, a bit less for others. But then the community functions, economically it functions from the main contributions that each member makes, which again, I think for a couple is about, I can't remember exact figures, but something in the region of £500 a year. Because it is the community that pays the rabbi, for example. The shuls don't pay the rabbi. The shul might pay the chazan, though there's only one shul that has a paid chazan. All the other shuls, as the chazanim kind of disappeared, either because they went somewhere else or they passed away, they decided to take on the chazanas themselves. So, you know, there's several members of the congregation who can daven.
So there's one rabbi?
There's one paid rabbi in terms of, this is his responsibility, is the community, and he's the only rabbi in that sort of position. But there are another, probably nearly a dozen members of the community who've got rabbinical ordination, who receive rabbinical ordination. Some of them teach at the Kollel.
And all of the synagogues are Orthodox, is that correct?
Yes.
Is everyone in the Jewish community Orthodox, or are there,
okay,
let's say...
Let's make a distinction between Orthodox and observant.
Okay.
Okay, well, let me tell you what my distinction is. Orthodox, you could belong to the Orthodox movement, but you may not keep anything, okay? You acknowledge you're a member of the Orthodox movement, your affiliation is there, but you may not keep anything. So that is the difference. I would say a good majority are Orthodox and observant. There's no reform movement here. There's no liberal, there's no conservative, Orthodox. Sephardi Orthodox, by the way.
Does the community here in Gibraltar have any relationship at all with the community in Spain, or any of the communities in Spain?
Not really. There are sometimes contacts, mainly due to people visiting, for example, Torremolinos. And, for example, the guy who owns a deli there used to own the deli here, but he married a Spanish girl and lives in Torremolinos now. There are those people that have come from Ceuta. There are people here who got relatives in Ceuta or Melilla. Not so much in Madrid. Possibly in the Costa del Sol. So that's as far as I understand it, that's as far as it goes. But there aren't, for example, joint activities between us. We respect each other, we help each other whenever we have to, whenever the opportunity arises. For example, they can advertise in our publications, the mikveh, the deli, and so on and so forth. But otherwise, there is just contact between people who know each other or relatives. There isn't kind of official contact, though it's potentially there.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Yeah. I lived in England for a long time, 30-odd years. I was a professor there in a university. And I also used to be the editor of a monthly in Birmingham. That's where I lived. So I learned quite a lot during my time there for about 15 years. And when I came here, I tried to persuade the president that we should start our own journal, but in colour. The one in Birmingham was black and white. So after a lot of persuading, convinced him, and so I became the editor. My wife is the administrative secretary and the person who's in charge of sending invoices and reminders to our sponsors, and she proofreads, she's a better proofreader than I am. But I'm left with designing basic, simple adverts, or getting their logos, finding out what I should put in.
Do you do all the writing?
No, but it's sometimes it gets very near to that. For example, this one was done by somebody else, not living in Gibraltar, but it was of some interest, some Sephardi interest. This is a cousin of mine who wrote about this Mother Claire Bernese. This I took from Wikipedia. We have bar mitzvah children and so on and so forth. Sometimes we have the occasional poem. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah I got from the internet, simply because it was appropriate as he had donated a Sefer Torah. So I did that in a sense in his honor, put that article in his honor. We got a focus on the schools and the youth and so on. I do write quite a lot, but sometimes I don't put my names or initials because it gets a little bit too much, you know.
What relationship does the Jewish community have with the non-Jewish community here, and has there been any problem at all with anti-Semitism?
I think anti-Semitism exists in one shape or form anywhere in the world, even Israel, even amongst Jews, I think. Those Jews who don't like Jews, well, they're anti-Semites. Whether they're religious who do not like the irreligious, or the religious who don't like the religious, it's a form of anti-Semitism. We don't need that. There's plenty of other people who can do it and even better than us. Is there anti-Semitism here? It's always kind of there. There will be, whereas most non-Jewish people in Gibraltar are very respectful of us, there is that sort of undercurrent that once in a long while appears. It could be just an individual cracking a joke about you Jews, and I'm ready for them. When they say, for example, you Jews, you know, you're always making money, and I said, you know, you Christians are such idiots. Why? Because you've had 2,000 years to learn how to make money, and you still can't. Or I say to them, you know, the difference is a difference in attitude. You would run after a bus and save 5p. I would run after a taxi and save £5. That's the difference. The attitude is the difference. So, you know, I am certainly ready with my one-liners. And they laugh. Because the community became much more religious, and because they were spending more time in a religious lifestyle and studying, because a lot of people study at the Kollel in the evenings, then their contact with non-Jewish people was not as it used to be. And there are a number of Jews in our community who bemoan the fact that we are not as close to the non-Jewish people in Gibraltar as they used to be or their parents used to be. And then non-Jewish people who bemoan the fact that we are no longer as friendly, as it were, with them as we were before. Tell you the truth, I'm not quite sure they ever wanted it anyway. So, you know, when you talk about discrimination, there's plenty of discrimination happened in my days when I was a youngster in school, run by Christian Brothers, you know, when I was the only Jewish boy in the class. And they had prayers, God knows, every hour sometimes. And I was asked to leave the class, not because they didn't want me there necessarily, it's because they probably felt that I was going to be offended if I stayed. And then later on they didn't ask me to leave, so I didn't want to get up when everybody else got up to say prayers. And there was a form of, I won't say benign racism, because it wasn't quite benign, but it wasn't malignant. But we knew the difference, and that was it. But otherwise, we live in harmony, we live in peace, and anti-Semitism only raises its ugly head once in a while. I mean, only last Hanukkah, for example, for the first time ever, a group of our community decided they wanted to build a Hanukkah, a menorah, in the piazza, just around here, yes, and invite everybody here. Muslims came, Christians came, Hindus came, Jews came, and they all, you know, representatives of each lit, or children from the group, I think. I wasn't here, I was in Israel, so I didn't witness it, but there were non-Jewish people and Jewish people lighting the Chanukiah, and then they all got donuts, sufganiyot, and it was amazing. And a lot of people feel that we should do much more of that, but there's other subtle ways of doing it. For example, I'm retired. When I was going to retire, I said to my wife, do we retire to Israel or do we retire to Gibraltar? And She is very much an Israel person, even though she's English. She speaks Ivrit perfectly. We used to teach it. And I thought she was going to say, let's go to Israel. Now, at the time, I didn't have any children in Israel. I got two there now and two in London. And when she said, we'll go to Gibraltar, I was quite amazed. So we came here. And I saw there was a need to celebrate our differences with non-Jewish people and share what we had in common. So I've done little things, like two or three concerts I've done. The London Jewish Male Choir, I brought them over twice, and so on. And if we make any profits, I give half to non-Jewish organizations and half to the Jewish organizations. Other things, we've been very close to the mayor, for example. I brought some 10 Israeli soldiers, you know, veterans, and I approached the mayor, the then mayor, and asked him, please, will you receive them? And he had a reception for them. For the first time ever, last year, the present mayor organized a Purim reception for the members of the Jewish community. So, you know, there are those beautiful gestures which bring us together. A few days ago, because of a proposal I made to the chief minister once when we went, I used to belong to this board here. For 6 years I was a member. And then I gave it up. And when the new chief minister came, we had a meeting. He asked for a meeting with us. And he talked about anti-Semitism, racism. He said there was a zero tolerance. So I said, well, you know, we do have, there is a program being run by somebody else of taking 20, 30 non-Jewish children and Jewish children to Auschwitz. And that happened, that started about 4 or 5 years ago. But then there's only 20 or 30 kids who can do that. Why don't we bring a Holocaust survivor and get him to talk to 400 kids, which we did last year very successfully. And by the way, what we did last year was sponsored partly by the government. I also propose that we should have a Holocaust Memorial Day. The United Nations date is 27th of January, as you know. And the governor came, the chief minister, the mayor, several members, several ministers came, non-Jewish people, Jewish people. So you see, these things are happening, but they're happening usually because there's people like me or two or three others who are keen to do certain things to try and keep contact in at that sort of level within the non-Jewish community.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
If you would like to find out more about the Jewish community in Gibraltar, you can go to the link on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with Keter from the CD Keter Malchut by Ariel Lazarus. The lyrics are traditional for Shabbat and the high holidays, and the music is based on a motif from a traditional Sephardic melody from Gibraltar. See you next week. Kedusha lecha yeshaleshu kadavar e'amun.